Good morning, KYLK listeners. Good morning, Sister Linda Randall. And welcome to the Sunday School Snapshot. I am Reverend Lewis Winkley. I serve at the Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, under the leadership of my pastor, Dr. Sheldon L. Jackson, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a wonderful, wonderful lesson. We have a lot of moving pieces in this lesson. We are dealing with our Sunday School annual commentary lesson that we're in Unit 2, the Covenant Community, Songs of the Old Testament, and we're looking at lesson number 7. Title for this lesson is A Plea for Deliverance. Let's get into a word of prayer, then we'll move right into the lesson. Father God, we just come just to say thank you, Lord. Just thank you for allowing us to be your children. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for continuing to watch over us, provide for us, protect us, Lord. Thank you for your resources. Thank you for what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do, Father God. And allow us to always remember to be thankful for and have gratitude for everything that's in our lives in you. Father God, we thank you and bless you, ask you to have your way, link us together with your word to make us be the better, feed us, Lord, and grow us, that you get the glory out of our lives. We thank you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name we ask for these blessings. And the people of God said, amen. A plea for deliverance. Well, last week we dealt with David dealing with his issue of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, and he cried out to the Lord when he found out, saying, create in me a clean heart. This week, we back up in David's life, in his past, when he, at this time, this psalm was probably written and composed during the time of him being chased by King Saul and him being ran to away from his people to his enemies, and he is surrounded. He feels lonely. He feels like he has been left to die. He is down in the street. When you read the psalm in its entirety, you will hear him talking about his strength is gone, his teeth, his tongue cleaves to the top of his roof of his mouth. He's hungry. He's tired. He's tested. So all of this that happens. But what he does is, with all his complaints, with all of the things going on that he puts out his concern, is he first opens up in that verse, he says, my God. He doesn't curse God. He doesn't remove himself from God. He doesn't separate himself from God. What he does is he says, my God. And that's one of our first points, one of our first nuggets that we can take and put in our treasure chest or our toolbox. That David, who was with all of the complicated things in his life, being the last of all of Jesse's sons, but being the one chosen by God, being the one to take care of the flock, but had to fight off the bear and had to fight off the lion and had to deal with all the ridicule and the downtrodden and the lowly eyed looks of his own, even his own people. But God chose him. So God can choose you. You don't have to be the best. You don't have to be what somebody else, the epitome of what somebody feels. You don't have to be. God can choose you from right where you are to do what he needs to do in your life. And then also, just because God chose you, just because the oil flows from the horn and goes down and cascades from your head down to your feet and fully anoints you and everybody knows that you are God's chosen, does not mean you're not going to have no problems. Don't mean you ain't going to be deep down in the valley. Don't mean that you always going to be on top of the mountain. Don't mean that you always going to have everything going and you're going to be like King Midas with the Midas touch and everything going to go right. You're going to have some challenges and some suffering and you're going to have some problems. But the thing about it is, how do you respond to it? Because that's what this is. Now, this Psalm 22 is being known and taught to us through theology, is being taught as the Psalm of the Cross. Because when you read this and study this, what you're going to do is you're going to see a contrast between David and his alienation and his separation and all the things that he needs, wants and desires and his fears. Contrast with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you'll see it in there. He talks about it. Look at the first verse. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why is thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And then, if you remember when Christ was on the cross, after they took him from his praying ground. They marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. And then when they finally got him, they marched him up the Villa Dolorosa, way of sorrows. He went through the 14 stations for the blessings and gave each one of us gifts to make us be the better, to make our lives be the better. And then when he got on Golgotha's Hill, they laid him down and fashioned wood in a cross. And the Romans nailed his hands and spiked his feet. And when they picked him up high and hung him between two thieves, he tells us the first thing, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. But then he comes down and he tells us later on while he's on the cross, he says in Aramaic, he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabathana. And he says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? So you see this contrast between David and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the words on him, when he deals with, he talks about daytime and nighttime, he cries out, verse 2, verse 3, he talks about, but he switches. In between that, he switches out and he turns into worship. And so when we understand this, so for us to have a better understanding, when it first opens up, we got to understand that these elements of this psalm, the Old Testament psalms were like the hymn book. And there were songs and prayers that was given out. It was poetry to express the human heart and the human mind to an intelligent God. As close as we can get to his level that he would understand, appreciate, and accept. So it's like eight different elements of worship that you look in there when you're learning your lesson. It's psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of hope, you know, psalms of lament, psalms of grief, psalms of guilt, doubt, and anger. And then even they have this imprecatory, imprecatory. This means to invoke judgment, curse, or calamity upon the enemies. That means that we talk with everything that's going on us, we praying God to let your wrath consume them. You know, that's the Old Testament. And let your wrath consume them. Let your power, your hand, and your might crush them. You know, that's the Old Testament. So God is leaning us up because, you know, Christianity, as we say, is an intellectual religion. He leaning us up from the Old Testament, then to turn the other cheek in the New Testament. That's why we had a contrast dealing with David. They let his wrath come upon him and crush my enemies. But we get up to Jesus. Jesus teaches us to pray for our enemies. And let his love show to hope to change our enemies as it changes us. So you see this evolution just in the Psalms itself. So when he's dealing with this, and I really like this, because in this psalm and in this lesson, God is teaching us to have a balance in life. And God is balance. God is balance. You know, but he allows us to have a light and a dark. He allows us to have the sunshine and rose-colored glasses. Allows us to be on the top of the mountain. The wind blow through our hair and feel the freshness of the breeze. And then he allows us to travel deep down in the valley. We look like the weight of the world is upon us. But he never leaves us. His promise is he never leaves us nor forsakes us in any aspect. So what this psalm should teach us is that we cannot endure anything, any suffering, anything without the divine support of God. We could not endure. We have to be able to deal with it, because the lesson itself talking about a plea, a urgent, emotional driven plea, a request, a cry out for help. Well, he says, my God, for deliverance. Now I looked at this, and this deliverance, if you break it down in Hebrew, that deliverance got three different aspects in Hebrew. In Hebrew, deliverance means hatasala, means salvation. Goeshua means rescue. And then yeshu koa means relief. So he's talking about, I need to be saved. I need to be rescued. I need for relief from you, God. And then look what he does. He transfers his questioning of God. And then this one thing I liked about the lesson too. The lesson points out God allows us to come before him and petition and ask questions and have concerns in our life. Ain't nothing wrong with you asking God or questioning God what you're doing as a child to ask your parent, well, why do I have to do this? Where are we going? And when will this be done? But to question the manner and the will, the justice and the processes in an arrogant way, we should never do that. We should never question why you had to pick me. Why it couldn't have been somebody else in a vehement way, like we got some control. No, God loves us so much, he let us be able to have that balance. So we'll be able, and when things are good, we can come before him and express ourselves in song and in prayer. And then when things are bad, we should do the same. We shouldn't go ball up in a corner. We shouldn't go crawl up in a bottle. We shouldn't go in there and try to get us no more medicinal or even no street weed and get ourselves high to forget all our problems. We should go in our prayer closets and we should come spend time with the Lord, even in our grief and problems. So here in this psalm here teaches us that. And I liked also too, because it says the chief musician upon Ajari Shahar means the dawn of a new day. He's giving us a new chance at the new day. He's talking about this. This psalm shows us and teaches us that because we are God's children, we have the ability to come before him and talk to him on any and every level, even if it's grief and suffering, because he loves us. But he will never leave us nor forsake us because he loves us. So I pray that you get a chance to get into your lesson and springboard into that. As I pray, may you have a wonderful day. God bless you and keep you.